And you're listening to the Phantom Squad podcast.
Hey everyone, this is going to be another episode of the Phantom Squad podcast. My awesome guest this week is Hollywood legend Eddie Deason. How's it going?
How are you, Jeremy? It's great to be here.
Doing good, doing good. Thank you so much for coming on. It's an honor being a huge fan of your work. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you, sir.
Now, the first thing I wanted to ask you, so I know when you first did Grease, how did you get that role and how did that come about to get your first acting role in Grease? And did you guys know it was going to be a phenomenon at the time?
Okay, Grease was my first film. I lucked out because most people, their first film, you know, you've got to go through B-movies. Almost every actor, they'll do some bad movies before they hit the good one. And I happened to luck into a classic. I was a bit player on Grease. You know, I didn't have a big role, but I'm a part of Grease, so I'm part of this legendary film. But to answer your question, I've been in Hollywood for 2 years. I did basically nothing. I was on the old Gong Show with Chuck Barris. I don't know if you remember that show. That was my entire experience. I was on the Gong Show. I did a stand-up comedy routine, and I got gonged by Paul Williams. The Gong Show was a show, it was like a talent show. And if they didn't like you, one of the celebrities would gong you. They hit a big gong, gong. And Paul Williams, the composer, gonged me. So that was my experience. And I did 3 gigs at the Comedy Store. That was all I ever did. Grease, I had an agent. I had a pretty bad agent, but she got me into this cattle call, and they were looking for a Eugene. So I put on, just as an idea, I put on this Pee Wee Herman suit. I put on this weird suit with a bow tie. And I put, I think it was Vitalis in my hair. I greased it down for some reason because Eugene's not a greaser. But I knew it was called Grease, so I greased my hair down. I slicked it down with a comb, and I went in that way. And everybody else, I went into the audition. This was the days of Fonzie. You know, Fonzie was the biggest thing in showbiz, happy days. All the guys were in leather jackets like Fonzie, and there were a bunch of girls that were in poodle skirts, you know, in saddle shoes. It was the 50s, and I was the only one that was a nerd. I was the only nerd there. Then I was called to the office. It was Alan Carr, the producer, a great man, wonderful man who's passed away. I loved Alan. Mr. Kleiser, Randall Kleiser was our director, and Joel Thurm, the casting director, who has a great book out now, a great kids and tell book, great tell-all book, which you should buy now, but they were the three there. Anyway, I did my read. Eugene has about 2 lines in it, so I did my 2 lines, and I looked over, and I saw them nudging each other. They were nudging each other from when they saw me, so I thought that was a good sign. They were nudging each other and talking, so I thought that was a good sign. Now, let me tell you the religious connotation. It's a true story. A couple days later, my agent said, Eddie, guess what? They hired you for Grease. You're going to be in the movie with John Travolta. So, you know, I'm over the moon, happy. I called my parents. I called all my friends, told them I'm in this movie with John Travolta, my first movie. Then a couple days later, I get another call from my agent, Eddie, bad news. They wrote you out of Grease. What? They go, yeah, Eugene's not that important to the script. So they wrote, yeah, they decided not to have you in the movie. You know, I wanted to kill myself. You know,
oh, my gosh.
They just pulled the rug out from under me. So this is true. This is now, if you're religious, you believe this is a religious story. If you're a non-believer, you say it's a lucky coincidence. You just lucked out. But my agent said, okay, we're going to go to church and pray. What? We're going to go to church and pray. We're going to light candles. I'm a Jew. I've never been to church in my life. So she comes up. My agent was named Regina. She came and picked me up. We drove through. It's a church called Our Mother of Good Counsel Church. It's still there on off Hollywood Boulevard. It's on Hollywood and Vermont. Our Mother of Good Counsel. We went in there. We lit candles on an altar and we prayed. About 2 days later, I swear, Jeremy, they said, Eddie, you've got the role back. They want you back in the movie. You got the role of Eugene. So I got into Grease that way. It's the most religious story of my life, if you believe.
That is awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, another thing I want to ask you, because I know I'm in my late 20s, and I know my generation mainly know you for your voice acting, because you have a very unique voice, and we know you for your voice acting work. So how did, you know, you go from, you know, your film roles, you know, from 1941 and, you know, Midnight Madness to getting into the voiceover? How did that come about?
I guess the genesis was my first brush with that was I did War Games. War Games I did in 1983. Okay, and I had my scene. I had a scene with Matthew Broderick. It's a good little scene. I'm only in one scene in the movie, but it's a good scene. And I have to say the words data encryption algorithm. And I kept screwing up, Jeremy. I go, da, 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 da. I go, yeah, Malvin, go in there. I go, yeah, Lightman, go into the data endocrine algorithm. Cut. Yeah, Malvin, go into the data auditory amendment. And I kept screwing up, take after take. So the director, my director was named Marty Brass. He calls me over. He goes, come here. We're going to take a walk. So he puts his arm around my shoulder. We walk around. He goes, you're costing the studio a lot of money. He goes, we're going to get you these things called idiot cards. And he pronounced idiot really bad. He's looking at me. He goes, we're going to get you idiot cards. Like, I couldn't say it. But he got me these chew cards. And Jeremy, I read it in one take. I go, hey, Lightman, we're going to get the new data encryption algorithm. Data encryption algorithm. That's what I said. I read it off the cue card so I could say it. I can't even say it now, 30 years later, 40 years later. But I said it. I read it in one take. We wrapped. It was done. Anyway, Marty Bress was fired, and they hired John Badham to direct War Games. He took over. He's credited with directing it, but Marty Bress directed my scenes. Now, John Badham didn't like any of the 12 scenes Marty directed. He threw them all away, but he liked my scene. He kept it in the movie, so I left out. But anyway, to answer your question, I used cue cards, and I realized, God, this is a great rack. He can read off cue cards. You know, that's what Bob Hope always did. Bob Hope reads off cue cards, everything he did. Saturday Night Live, all the actors read off cue cards. You know, it's really easy to do that way. So I started reading off cue cards. I think I might have started with Fred Olin Ray, some of those films, Mob Boss or something. I read cue cards. And my first voiceovers, I'm not sure what they were. I did some kind of cartoon shows. It was probably before Dexter's Laboratory. I did a lot of work at Cartoon Network. I might have done a Johnny Bravo, or I might have done a Powerpuff Girls or something. I just loved it because you don't have to memorize lines, you know. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to shave or comb your hair. You go in looking like a slob, and you just read off. You read the script. It's a piece of cake. I fell in love with them, and I did a lot of voiceovers over the years. And of course, Polar Express, which I later did, was all cue cards. I worked for 10 weeks on that. It was all cue cards on that. Yeah.
Awesome! 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 And I'm guessing from that, they, you know, when they did Dexter's Lab, they got you to come in to do, you know, that iconic character that everybody loves, Mandark.
Yes, Mandark. My favorite animation director, her name is Colette Sunderman, who I adore. She's my favorite animation director. Bob Zemeckis is my favorite on-camera director, but she's my favorite animation director. I worked a lot for her. And she helped me with Mandark. We were reading through Mandark the first day, and it says Mandark, and it said in front that he laughs. And I had an old stage to laugh. I go, all right, Dexter, I'm going to get you, Dexter. Ah, ah. Or I go, ha. Ah. I held on. She goes, no, make it a choppier laugh. She goes, do it. Go, ha, 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 ha. Chop it up. I go, I'll get you, Dexter. I'll get you, Dexter, this time. And I did it that way. And that kind of caught on. And Colette said, that's the way to do it. So she actually is responsible for Dexter's Lab. She told me to do it that way. And she's a brilliant director. So I thank Colette. I owe her that.
That is amazing. And I'm glad you did that, because my fiance, that's one of her favorites. And she's like, oh, can you please get in to do the Mandark laugh? And I was like, I'll try.
Oh, please, yeah. Yeah, give her my love. Tell her I said hi. Tell her Mandark says hi.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Another thing too is that, so with your films, you got to work with, you know, all these other Hollywood legends like yourself. I know there's a story I heard, but you got to have lunch, you know, with Spielberg and Dan Aykroyd and Belushi. Can you talk about that?
I got to have lunch with Steven Spielberg. First was when we did I Want to Hold Your Hand. We did a promotional tour in New York, and we actually stayed. You're a Beatles night. They put us up in the Plaza Hotel in the Beatles suite. We got to stay in for the promotional tour. And we went around, you know, with the press and did interviews and all that. And Steven took us all out to lunch. I think it was at one of the delis there, you know, not the stage deli, but some deli there, a famous deli, but Steven took us out there. So that was the first time. But the second one was even cooler. I was doing 1941, the one you're alluding to. We were doing 1941, and I was just hanging around at lunchtime. And Steven goes, hey, Eddie, you want to come out to lunch with us? Sure, what the hell? I'll have lunch with Steven Spielberg any day. You know? So I go out there. It was Steven Spielberg, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, and me. He took us out there, and I'm sitting there, you know, I'm Jackie Gleason, humming, 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 humming. I'm sitting there at lunch. I didn't say a word, Jeremy, the whole lunch. I just sat there. I was spellbound. And those three are kids, you know, they were talking amongst themselves. I remember Steven tried to order stew. I don't remember much, but he tried to order stew. He said, do you have a stew on the menu? He felt like stew that day. And I remember a fan came up and gave him a drawing of it. So he goes, Steven, I drew a picture. And Steven took that. Steven was the most unassuming guy, the most laid-back guy. You know, he's like the biggest name in the world, but he was just the most regular guy, you know, totally unaffected by his, you know, his world fame, his renown. And now we just talked, and then I realized, oh my God, I don't have any money. I can't pay. It's going to be embarrassing. But luckily, Steven picked up the tab, so I lucked out there. And that was the best lunch I ever had.
Awesome, awesome. Now, back to Polar Express. I know, like, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of people think it was just 3D animation. Can you talk about, like, I know being, you know, a behind-the-scenes nerd, that, you know, that was actually motion capture for you guys?
Bob Zemeckis is an innovator. He always loves new things. He likes to do new things. He's a very innovative director. He's my favorite director ever. He directed in the film I talked about, I Want to Hold Your Hand, and he remembered me all those years later and wrote me into Polar Express. So I love Bob so much. We exchange Christmas cards every year. But anyway, Polar Express, we'd come in every day. Was the four main characters were Tom, me, Nona Gay, the hero girl, you know, the young girl. That she's actually Marvin Gaye's daughter. I don't even know, but she's Marvin Gaye's daughter. And Peter Scolari, who was Tom's old friend and bosom buddies. And Peter, since has passed away, he was the sweetest, nicest guy ever. We loved each other, four of us. It was like We were so close, and it was a joy every day. But we come in every day, okay? We put on a skin diving suit. We all put on a skin diver suit, a bathing suit, you know, that thick black rubber suit. We get a bathing cap glued to our head, the four of us. Then, Jeremy, they put 152 dots on us. They get a magic marker, a flare pen or something. They do 152 dots on our face. Then they glue these little things on us, these little dots. I don't know what they were, but they glue 152 dots on our head. It was a long process. Now, this is just mine. I don't know if Tom, Peter, and Nona got the same, but mine were 152. I remember the number. They get 152 dots glued to our face, but they had their dots glued to their face. Then we would go in, and I think I had did I have blue pajamas? I think I had blue. Tom had yellow. We'd go in and do our scene, okay? We go in, da da da. Hey, Santa, I want my presents. And Tom would talk, and we'd do our scene. Then they have little kids. They have a little kid, Tom, a little kid, me, a little kid, Peter, a little kid, Nona. And they would do the same scene. They go, hey, I want the present, Santa. And somehow they morphed us together. If you see the movie, it's our emotions. It's us moving, but it's like little kids too. Somehow Bob joined us together. It's us moving, but it's little kids doing the same motion.
It's
a weird process. I hope I'm describing it right, but it was something like that.
That's Bob's so cool.
Genius. He's way out of my league.
Now, one thing I know that you're doing now that, you know, to get some of our fans that, you know, want to get some things from you, can you talk about your cameo and how they can find you and, you know, get stuff like, you know, do the laugh or do like you did for my fiance? Can you talk about your cameo?
Oh, sure. I love doing these. They're called cameo videos. You can order them. I have it on my Facebook page. I have how you can do it. Or I guess you can Google cameo videos. But it's me and a bunch of celebrities. You know, I'm not a celebrity, but it's me and other people who are actors and actresses. You know, some are really big and famous. And we do these things called cameo videos. You can order us and we wish a happy anniversary, happy birthday to a loved one, happy bar mitzvah, or I'll answer any questions, you know, anything you want. Some people just want to ask me questions, and I've been churning them out. So I've been doing these, and I really enjoy them, and they're fun. They're called cameo videos. Order them if you want. Yeah, I can use the money if you want to order them. Yeah.
Awesome. Yes, definitely we want to get you to do that because, you know, definitely help you out because you're, like I said, you're amazing, especially I know everybody loves your voice characters, and I know a lot of my generation for sure. I'll definitely send all my friends your way for that.
Be very kind. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, one last thing I wanted to ask you too. I know you're on Facebook and stuff. So what are some of the, we know that you're a big Beatles fan. What are some of the other things that, you know, that you geek out about? Because I know you're a nerd just like me. So what are some of your other nerdy things?
I'm a Beatles fan. Yeah, first and foremost, Beatles fan. Oh, I love the Marx Brothers, anything the Marx Brothers. I love Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. I love Jerry per se, and I love Dean per se. I've seen them both individually in Las Vegas, but Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis was what I loved. I wrote, oh, hang on, Jeremy, okay? I'm going to get off camera for a minute. I'll come right back.
Okay.
I got something to plug, okay? I just remembered. You can get this book.
Yes.
It was called Marketing Mayhem, Selling Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis to Postwar America. I wrote the foreword for this book. And it is the most beautiful book. It is by Richard S. Green. He's a wonderful, nice guy. I wrote the foreword. So please, if you can, buy a copy of this book. It's on sale at Amazon or any bookstore, Selling Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis to Postwar America. So get this book. I highly recommend it. If you're a Martin Lewis fan like me, this is the book you have to have. Yeah. And I think it might be the first foreword I ever wrote to a book.
Awesome. Yeah. We'll definitely put that in the show notes too for you, for people can, you know, get the cameo and get the book and everything for you.
Thanks, Jeremy.
All right, everyone. That's going to be another episode of the Phantom Squad podcast. Would you like to share our outro? We always say, enjoy the madness.
Enjoy the madness.